The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Andrew Mason will join us from the owners' meetings in Orlando in about 30 minutes. As Sean Payton talking yesterday, George Payton too. But let's focus on Sean. When asked, you gotta appreciate the bluntness. When asked if it was hard to swallow Russ's giant cap hit, the bulk of it this year.
No. I mean, it's always difficult when you take on a cap hit like that. We spent some time deciding how we were going to take that, and then we move forward.
No. No. What was my alternative? Continuing to coach Russ? No.
No.
How about the idea that the Broncos are rebuilding? What about it, Coach?
You know, in our league, it's you regroup and you get ready to play. And so we're still in the midst of assembling our roster. And, you know, I don't. If you paid attention to that, you know, there's a ton of different seasons I've been a part of that, you know, never would have had the success we had relative to the expectations. I think we got to get better in a lot of areas. We're excited to do that.
See, I think we need to establish something. If what is the definition of rebuilding? Because in my mind, if we're going into a rebuilding season, then I'm going into it with the idea that they go 3-14 or 4-13. Is
why?
That? Because that's what I equate with rebuilding. Rebuilding means that you are signing up to be one of the worst teams in your sport.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
So that's 3 wins, 4 wins, isn't? Well, all right, what's your definition of rebuilding?
Did the Houston Texans rebuild last year?
Yes, they already had some good pieces in place before.
They won 4 games the year before. They were awful. They're the worst team in the league.
Right. They were rebuilding. And they went 4-13 and finished with the number 2 overall pick.
And they
ergo my point.
No, that's not your point.
Yes,
they
it
were
is.
Rebuilding last year. They were rebuilding last year. They fired the coaching staff. They fired everybody available. They dumped everything. They drafted a rookie quarterback in the second overall pick. They drafted a defensive end, the 3rd overall pick. They started with a rookie head coach in D'Amico Ryans. That whole roster was completely revamped.
So what were they doing the 2 years before that when they went 4-12 and 4-13? Were they rebuilding
sucking.
Then? Oh, they just sucked.
They sucked. They've been rebuilding for a while, but you didn't think there's nobody on planet Earth.
So they went 4-12.
There was nobody on planet Earth, including yourself, that thought the Houston Texans would go to the playoffs last year. They're still in the process of rebuilding. That's why they drafted a rookie quarterback, very much like Carolina. Are the Carolina Panthers rebuilding when they dumped the whole coaching staff and everything else and started over again?
Would you agree with
me? Just answer me.
Would you agree with me that once the Texans decided to trade Deshaun Watson, they signaled they were rebuilding, right?
Correct.
Okay. The year after they traded Deshaun Watson, they went 4-13. They acknowledged they were rebuilding. They went 4-13. The next year, they went 3-13-1.
Mm-hmm.
That's the record that goes with teams that are rebuilding. You signaled your intent to rebuild when you traded Deshaun Watson and you promptly went 4-13. So if we're buying into the idea that the Broncos are embarking on a rebuild season, then I equate that with 4-13. Do you see a 4-13?
Okay,
so I'm just asking, do you see a 4-13 football team right now?
I don't know what I see. Wait until the whole roster is put together. Let me ask you this.
Let's say Jarrett Stidham's the quarterback. Is that a 4-13 team?
I don't know. Possibly, yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Like those 2 years that you're talking about, who was their quarterback those 2 years?
Davis Mills was their best statistical quarterback those 2 years after they moved on from Deshaun Watson.
Who else?
What do you mean, who else?
Who else played quarterback for them those 2 years? David Mills didn't play the whole time.
No.
Who else played?
I don't remember. Who are the quarterbacks that played? Johnny, you want to look that up? Let me keep talking.
I'm just saying, were they parallel tracking it? Okay, we lost Deshaun, but we can still win with this guy. We can still like what the Broncos have done the last 8 years. Or did they finally go, let's strip it all down, let's go get D'Amico Ryans, let's really rebuild this thing, and then they caught lightning in a bottle. C.J. Stroud was so good, there's no way you could have assumed that that would happen.
Mark, come on. You trade Deshaun Watson for like five first-round draft picks. There's no better example of, yes, we're rebuilding, then we're trading right. Our star quarterback for five first-round picks.
Last year, rebuilding. But last year was part of that rebuilding process.
It was part of it, but the first 2 years, they won 4-3 games. That's my point.
Mike Evans thought that the Houston Texans were going to the playoffs last year. He's the only person on the planet that thought that.
No, I thought that they were
that
still
was part of the rebuilding process.
It was part of the process, but when the process started, they won 4-3 games. That's my point. So look, this is just a simple question. Do you think the Broncos are a four-win football team next year? If you do, then they are rebuilding, no matter what Sean Payton says. If you think that this is a team, even with Jarrett Stidham as their quarterback, that there's enough talent to win seven or eight games, then they're not rebuilding.
You can fool yourself and win seven or eight games. You're rebuilding. I don't know what the definition is, but you're rebuilding. Even if you win seven or eight games, you're still rebuilding. It just is going faster. Like the building project is going faster. Like you didn't hit any snafus. The foundation was great. The dirt that you had was great for drainage. The whole thing was just like, wow, we didn't even have to excavate. Sometimes you got to excavate it down deeper, and then you got to get backfill with some good, good quality dirt.
You're kind of massaging the whole, see what I did there? Massaging Houston. Too soon. Rebuilding idea. Okay. But yes, I get your point that you're always rebuilding. But let's face it. When you, whatever the sport is, when you say, yes, they're rebuilding, they've decided to rebuild, then you're basically signing up for a certain level of suck. Whether it's winning 20 games in the NBA or 4 games in the NFL or 60 games in Major League Baseball, hello Rockies.
But
you're admitting to a certain number.
The rebuild doesn't have to take 12 years. You don't have to suck forever.
No, of course not.
If you get the management of the team correctly, you create the right culture, you get rid of the people you need to get rid of. You draft wisely and you develop well. Then it doesn't have to last forever.
No.
Good to be here, Mike.
But most people said last year, going into the season last year, the overwhelming thought that Houston was the worst team in football. That was the overwhelming thought.
Yes. One of them, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And, are the Carolina Panthers, did they rebuild last year? Are they ready to go now?
No. Rebuild continues.
Okay, why?
Because
they took the wrong quarterback.
Well, that doesn't. But if you once
because
you,
their owner throws once, beer on people.
But once you saw
super
the
duper bad.
Once you started to see the impact that C.J. Stroud was making, and you started taking a closer look at Houston, you realize, hey, the cupboard wasn't really bare there. They put some nice pieces in place, and then Stroud helped get them over the top. Your take here confuses me because you have been congratulating the Broncos and Sean Payton for saying they finally have arrived at a point they should have arrived at about 6 or 7 years ago. So the fact that you feel like they've arrived at this new way of thinking would indicate to me that you have a different definition of what they're planning to do this year as compared to the last 6 or 7 years, and that they've really embraced a rebuild.
Correct.
Then what is the record that goes along with year one of an acknowledged, admitted rebuild?
I don't know.
And for that, I say it's 4 wins.
Okay, well, you can, this is like, hey, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a win, that's a loss. I don't know. I'd like to see what their roster looks like and the way they play before I decide to just give them 4 wins. Maybe it's 2 wins.
Okay.
Maybe it's 8 wins.
Well, if it's 8 wins, then you're not
sure
an official rebuild.
Of course you are. It's an official rebuild. It just happened quicker and better than you thought.
Okay.
You thought Houston was going to win 4 games last year. They went to the playoffs. You can't just all of a sudden say, well, they weren't a rebuild. Yeah, they were. They were still rebuilding. It just happened quicker. Some projects get done faster,
It didn't happen
Mike.
Quicker. Their first 2 years of their rebuild, they won 4 games and then 3 games.
And you thought they were going to win 4 games last year, and then they won a bunch.
Maybe
and you're
5 or 6.
Regardless, whatever, you were like, oh my gosh, the rebuild is now there.
Like, we're arguing semantics here, but it's...
We are.
It is the...
They were rebuilding last year, and it happened faster.
You need to acknowledge what a rebuild looks like and what year one of that admitted rebuild looks like and what you're prepared for it to look like.
The odds are I'm prepared to not be very good.
Okay.
But I'm optimistic that maybe some things can happen. But regardless, you're in a rebuild, whether Sean Payton admits it or not. I mean, this is the lying season. He's lying through his teeth about everything that comes out of his mouth right now. Except for Russell Wilson. That stuff is true.
That is. Hey, Sean.
His disdain for Russell is 100% true.
Sean, did you guys like go back and forth and back and forth thinking about how you wanted to eat Russell Wilson's dead cap?
No.
Well, how are you going to score, Sean? How are you going to score more points this year? Like, is there a big formula going in there? Like, what are going to be some of the keys to scoring more points this year?
Yeah. Take less sacks.
Take less sacks.
And by the way, in the same press conference said, I really liked the way our offensive line played last year. It was really one of the strengths of our team.
Yeah.
And yet when asked, what's the first thing you got to improve upon? We got to take less sacks. Gee, I wonder who you're blaming that on.
I tell you what, though.
Oh, by the way.
The workout videos
by
are
the
tremendous.
Way, yes. For those who just can't get enough of Russell Wilson workout videos, we've got the latest. And there's a part of it that just, well, it's Russ being Russ. What's trending coming up next?
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Okay, I can't wait to get your reaction to this one, Mark. So this is Bo Nix on with your buddy Colin Cowherd talking about the conversation he had with Sean Payton. You got to give me the explanation of this one. Here you go.
He'll just ask you right up front stuff. I mean, there's no phoniness. Like, he'll just cut right to the chase. So you've met with Sean. What's the first thing you want to know?
Well, he has several questions. He's just, like you said, he's kind of dry and just straight to the point. And one of the questions is, Bo, what's your shoe size? And so I told him a 12, and, he's kind of sizing me up, kind of like you did. He's like, you probably should be wearing a 13 or something. And I was like, that's probably so.
Huh? What? What? Huh? You probably should be wearing a 13.
Why? What do you... Please, you talk to football coaches every single week. What does shoe size have to do with it?
First off, there's no way that was Bo Nix.
That was Bo Nix.
That's not what Bo Nix sounds like.
That's what Bo Nix sounds like. I know that crushes you to the core.
Johnny, but... you have the real Bo Nix sound?
Man, I'll be right down the road. It'll be a little easier for my family to come watch me play. So that'll be great.
And it's not
yes,
Bo Nix.
That's Bo Nix.
That is some guy who plays for South Carolina.
Bo Nix.
That's not Bo Nix. Bo Nix. I told you. I warned you. I said, you're going to be disappointed the way Bo Nix sounds.
That is disappointing.
Come on. Back to the shoe size. What the heck does that matter?
The shoe size?
The shoe size.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's weird.
What size shoe do you wear?
11. You,
Johnny?
8.5.
Oh, Lilliputian.
I'm 5'5", by the way, so.
Well, I don't have big feet.
What are you?
12.5, 13.
Okay. Are we just are we angling at something here? Are we trying to make a point? Or
I don't know what the point is.
You got a little, you got a little.
I blew my nose.
Yeah, well, yeah, a little bat in the cave escaped.
Yeah. My nose has been really snotty lately.
Anyway, I was like, okay. Next time,
I'm not sure what that.
We'll have Mace on, and actually, I'm going to ask Mace if he can get another crack at Sean Payton this week. Why'd you ask Bo Nix about his shoes?
What's
the shoe size?
It'd be like me going, hey, Mike, what's your favorite sandwich?
Right.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, my favorite sandwich?
Yeah, Mike, what's your favorite sandwich?
Oh, man, I love a good Reuben.
What?
Reuben.
You love a Reuben?
I like a good Reuben, yes.
Oh, so you're not into tuna.
What?
Like, what?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I thought I pictured you a tuna guy.
Right. You should probably eat more tuna sandwiches.
Yeah.
Right.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
I pictured you as more of a 13.
I suddenly, you know me, I stand with Sean. But after that one, I'm a little bit.
Wonder what Drew Brees, what size shoe Drew Brees wears.
That kind of.
Throws you.
Throws me a bit. I'm not going to lie. All right. This is a great response. So, Matt Painter, who's the coach at Purdue. Yeah, your guy, Zach Edey. Edey Beedies.
Yeah, Edey's.
So, a reporter asked Coach Painter, what would you say to people who say that Edey is only good because he's tall? Here's the answer.
So, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing, and I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching. And I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
Heavy on the snark.
I love it.
I love it.
I do too.
It's true.
There's some people that say some really, really stupid stuff.
Oh my God. It's one thing if you just toss it out an opinion, but there are people. I follow this business closely, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
Man, there are a lot of people in our business that are really, really bad at it.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Bad at it.
Sure.
Bad at communicating, bad at writing, bad at interviewing. I mean, just bad. God bless you.
Sorry.
That's going to lead right out there. More bats are going to be escaping here in just a minute.
We can only hope.
Anyway, yeah.
I've been stuffy. Very stuffy.
Adam Silver, you're my hero. Because he is starting to think that the solution for the All-Star game is what I was saying immediately following this year's All-Star game.
I think particularly young players, they see it as, again, a mid-season break, an opportunity to have fun, an opportunity to take break from a very long season. I mean, we roughly have 1,300 games over the course of the year, all incredibly competitive games, and I think they see that as something different. They see it, I mean, there's always an entertainment aspect to our league, and I think it shifted from when you were a player. And I think to the point where when I saw the popularity of Steph versus Sabrina, see what's happening in the women's game, that we should just be looking to do different things and just make it a celebration of basketball. I mean, we're going to look at U.S. versus International. I just think maybe it we're past that point where we're going to play a truly competitive game.
Oh, well, thank goodness he brought up U.S. versus International. To me, you want to get the All-Star game to be competitive, make it U.S. versus international, because I'll tell you what, those international players are going to show up hell-bent on embarrassing the U.S., and the U.S. will have no choice but to respond, and guess what? A competitive basketball game will break out. But it sounds like Adam Silver is just waving the white flag and saying, yeah, I understand that the players that used to play in the NBA took NBA All-Star Games seriously. These guys, these current NBA players, they just look at it as a vacation and a party.
Right. How about the WNBA, like, champions versus, you know, the NBA players? Said Sabrina and Steph was kind of must-see TV.
You're saying?
You like to see all the NBA players just dunking on the girls?
Oh, jeez.
I would. Wouldn't you?
You just want to see, like, LeBron just run over Caitlin Clark and dunk on her? Is that what you want to see?
Yeah.
Kind of mean.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas, Mike.
I know. But it sounds like, because Adam Silver made it a point to say this year's All-Star game
stunk.
Well, no, but they tried. They tried to really, heck, they sent Larry Bird into the locker room before the games to pump up the players to try to play hard.
Yeah,
you're not going to listen to Larry Legend, then there's no hope for this game.
Three quarters of the guys in the locker room didn't know who Larry was.
Well,
that's the problem.
Shame on them.
No, it's just the way it is. Larry Legend.
Hey, if you just want to give the players and look at All-Star Weekend as a chance to just have fun and relax and have a good time, fine. Don't put the game on then, or don't try to sell it as a game.
The players couldn't focus. They're like, ah, that dude's ugly. Who is that ugly guy in our locker room? Larry is not a handsome man.
Why is it so hard to just go out? These guys play hard pickup basketball all summer long. You're telling
because
me you
it's
can't,
a break. They want to take a break.
They just want to take a break?
They just want a break.
Come on.
We were on break, Mike.
We were on a break. That'll do it for what's trending. Andrew Mason joins us coming up next, live from the owners' meetings in Orlando. Maybe he has a theory as to why Sean Payton wants to know what Bo Nix's shoe size is, because I don't get it. That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
You know what just struck me?
What's that?
Rocky season starts the day after tomorrow.
Does it really? Did we find out what they're going to be on TV?
I still haven't heard anything. The real cynic in me thinks they've waited right to the end like this because it's going to be pay-per-view. That they want to wait right to the end.
Why?
To drop that on you.
What would that?
Because they figure, hey, the season's about ready to start. People are like, all right. But if you announce it like a month before, just gives people like you and me a month to tee off on them and be angry.
Oh, I get you. Right. So we try to preemptive discuss, because then the season's going
right
on. If this is kind of like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody here is around to see it, does it make a sound? If the Rockies start the season and nobody can actually watch it, do they actually lose games?
Well, I know that Andrew Mason's looking forward to the baseball season because he likes the Braves. I think it's the Braves. Right, Mace? It's the Braves, right?
You're a Braves guy?
You like the Braves, right? And
yeah.
So you can't wait for the season to start because you got a real baseball team to root for.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love baseball, period, but it's always a little bit more fun when your team is relevant and a contender. And, someday that we're going to say that about the Rockies again. It's just, I mean, look, the best case scenario for this year is a year in which your young core starts improving. Some of the pitchers that they acquired in the draft last year and that they got at the trade deadline that are in the low to mid levels of the minors start blossoming, and maybe in 2026 you're talking about them making having a season kind of like the Diamondbacks had last year. But that's the most optimistic.
Oh, did we lose him?
Mace?
Hello, Mace.
Oh,
calling. Hello. Calling Mace. Hello, Mace. Major Mace, can you hear me?
I was just wondering if he's ever, you know...
Turn the rockets on.
If he's ever been in an establishment where he's dropping, you know, a bet on the Braves and saw Ohtani's...
Interpreter?
Rogue interpreter throwing millions down.
Let's get to the Broncos. I don't know if you heard this, by the way. We just played... I want to play it, and I want to get your reaction to it, okay? Here's Bo Nix talking about a conversation he had with Sean Payton.
He'll just ask you right up front stuff. I mean, there's no phoniness. Like, he'll just cut right to the chase. So you've met with Sean. What's the first thing you want to know?
Well, he asked several questions. He's just, like you said, he's kind of dry and just straight to the point. And one of the questions is, you know, Bo, what's your shoe size? And so I told him a 12, and, you know, he's kind of sizing me up kind of like you did. He's like, you probably should be wearing a 13 or something. And I was like, you know, that's, yeah, probably so.
Huh? What? Mace, you've covered football forever. What? Explain this.
I can't.
That's my coach, everybody. I stand with Sean. Holy smokes.
I mean, that's unless part of the exercise is you're trying to find out what happens when you catch somebody off guard with a question they don't expect, like shoe size, right? Like if you're Bo Nix and you're going to sit down with Sean Payton and you're thinking you're going to talk ball, like just talk ball, and it turns out there's a maybe. Sean's just trying to have a psychological exercise as part of it, because to see how Bo reacts to an unexpected question. That's the sort of thing that I think could rationalize it. I don't put it this way. If Sean Payton's meeting with a quarterback prospect, I'm not sure there's that much idle chatter making conversation, right? I think there's a purpose, even if it's just trying to see what happens if you catch him off balance with a question that they're not expecting. I think there's a purpose to what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know what the purpose is, though, because you've got an answer to that one. I wear a 12. I mean, hello. Now, I got a question. When I was working out for Washington, the Redskins at the time, as I was going through the pre-draft process, and the offensive line coach who came to work me out, Joe Bugle, asked me this question. Do you like to drink beer? I mean, if you say yes, then you're an alcoholic. You know, if you say no, then you're a prude. So you go, I like to tip a few back with the boys. you gotta kind of parse that out. But size, you know what your shoe size is.
The one thing, though, Stink, when you mentioned that, it's like, did they still have the 5 o'clock club when you got to Washington?
Yep. Absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that's what that was about. Like, we've got a culture here in our offensive line room. How's this dude going to fit? That's what I think.
What was the 5 o'clock club?
He says he likes beer.
Oh, 5 o'clock club is right after practice and after meetings. We had a shed where the old line would go hang out and drink beers before they went home.
A shed.
Yeah, it was the shed.
Like equipment shed or something like that?
Yeah, well, it was
the... Got the lawnmowers and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. A shed where all the lawnmowers, and it had a little front area. And then, like, at the wintertime, we put the propane heater on, and you come home, you'd be coughing up soot. You'd be like, big black... look at that.
The 5 o'clock club. Well, yeah, that's probably where the question came from. Mace, you've been down there for a couple days.
Yeah.
Just give us the overall vibe you're getting when it comes to the Broncos and their quarterback plans.
The vibe around here is that if Sean is in love with a quarterback, he's going to move heaven and earth to try to get that quarterback.
Who do you think that guy is if he loves somebody? Is it McCarthy? Because it seems like it's McCarthy, right? It's obvious, right?
It seems that way, but I wouldn't put it out of the realm that he's been taken with Drake May, although you hear less about that, partially probably because with Drake May, he doesn't have his pro day until later this week. He's got his pro day on Thursday in North Carolina. So if the Broncos want to do with Drake May what they did with J.J. McCarthy, which is have the private session after, which I think is actually kind of brilliant what they did with McCarthy. Have the private day when he's kind of in the come down from his pro day and everyone being there, and say, okay, you just did all this throwing. We're going to make you throw again tomorrow. Did you kind of sense the glee when Sean Payton yesterday was sort of talking about how he made McCarthy throw the day after his pro day? I think you're trying to maybe learn something about, you know, how, you know, maybe how they handle success, because pro days are usually very good for a top level prospect. It's, you know, controlled environment. You're the star of the show. So how do you kind of handle it the next day when you've got to go and restudy? So, I mean, I wouldn't even put it out of the realm possibility that they sit down with Drake May and they have the same kind of day with him. And if they conclude the same things, that then maybe this is why you talk about the Broncos picking four, because perhaps they put themselves in a scenario where they're fine with either May or McCarthy. I know Stink is not a Drake May person. I get that. But this may be part of the rationale of, okay, if you get to four, you're going to get a quarterback, and it just depends which one.
How about, you know, now, how about the rumors or the speculation that, and Mike Tannenbaum put this out there, that Arizona may be off of the Kyler Murray train, want to draft a quarterback, and then Washington also coming up and saying, hey, J.J. McCarthy's the guy we're targeting now. And, you know, so if you want to go get a quarterback, it's not four anymore. Now it's two. Well, what have you heard there in the owners meetings about that stuff?
I would say it's interesting on Washington and McCarthy, because there's also a sense that they're trying to throw people off the scent a little bit, mm-hmm. that they do want Jaden Daniels. They're just trying to put that out. They're just trying to put that out there to sort of do an end around, which is interesting because, you know, every indication is the Bears are going to pick Caleb Williams. That's a fait accompli. So, like, what reason would you have to do that, right? To keep everybody guessing. So it's really, it's interesting. There's sort of a thought of, okay, I'm not sure why Washington needs to do this, but at the same time, I would say it smells to me like a smokescreen going against everything I've heard regarding them and Daniels over the last few months.
Finally, what about the idea, Mace, that this is everything that the Broncos are throwing out regarding McCarthy and the private workout with McCarthy, and the idea that it's realistic that the Broncos would be willing to move all the way up? What if this is all a smokescreen to divert attention from the guy they actually want to get at 12, and that's Bo Nix?
I mean, at this point, you can't dismiss that as a possibility. But what I thought was interesting was the context in which Sean Payton brought up J.J. McCarthy. It was, you know, it was actually a question that our own Cecil Lammy asked. And it was 1 minute and 23 seconds into him talking about what you learn from a quarterback on their pro day. So, you know how sometimes Sean, when he's talking, like, he really kind of gets into pontification mode, and he's kind of, you know, explaining. He's really kind of explaining, and he's on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
I think J.J. McCarthy, in talking about that, was part of him kind of being on a roll and not necessarily something he intended to have out there. And I'll just say that George Payton, a few hours later, did not seem terribly happy that Sean had put all of that information out there into the public sphere. So take that as you will.
I've got some breaking news for you guys.
Uh-huh.
I just did a Google search.
Okay.
You know, everybody said that Sean Payton is looking for his next Drew Brees, the guy who reminds him of Drew Brees.
Sure. Drew Brees, size 13?
Just Googled it. Drew Brees wears a size 13 shoe. Bo Nix is our next quarterback. There's numbers for you, Mace. Maybe you want to take notes. I just put the numbers to you, Mace.
That's how you do it.
That's right.
Wow. Listen, I love that. And learn. Listen,
I love it. Learn. I love it. I need more. I need more of this thing. You got to bring this every time I'm on.
Yes. There's the number for you. It's official. Bo Nix is our quarterback, people.
Check out Mace's work at denversports.com. Check out Orange and Blue Today with Mace and Cecil Lammy. They're both at the owners' meetings in Orlando doing a great job for us. Mace, thank you very much.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
All right. Andrew Mason on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Up next, wow, love him or hate him, Russell Wilson finds a way to put himself in the public conversation. He's done it again. Another workout video. We got to break this one down. It's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Brass monkey, that monkey. Let's get to a lightning round of quick topics here before we make way for Dover and Stoke. So today at the NFL owners' meetings, they agreed to new kickoff rules.
Yeah.
So, quick background, the NFL determined that the NFL kickoff play was one of the most dangerous plays during a football game. So, in their quest to make the game safer, they changed the rules so that, if you kick the ball and it's caught at the 5, you can take a fair catch and it immediately goes out to the 25. They wanted to cut down on the number of kickoff returns. The problem is, the number went down so dramatically that the play basically got taken out of football. What can be a very exciting play? So they said, well, safety is important, but not at the expense of the entertainment for our fans. So they have changed the rule. You want to describe it?
Yeah, so you're still kicking off from the 35-yard line. If you kick it out of the end zone, it comes directly to the 40. So you're picking up a bunch of yards there. So then you have a landing zone. So in that landing zone between the 20 and the goal line, there are two returners there that have to catch the ball. Your kick cover team lines up at the 40. Your kick return team lines up. So they line 10 guys up at the 40. You line 9 guys up at the 30 that are on the kick return team. And then you have 2 guys drop back in the landing zone. So if you kick in the landing zone, it has to be returned. If it lands in the landing zone but scoots through the back of the end zone, the ball sits at the 20. You get penalized for not returning it. So it's either the 40 or the 20, or you have to return it. So that's the strategy of it. And so you're only having a 10-yard collision between the return team and the cover team. So that's kind of the way it works.
They're taking it from the XFL.
Yeah. It's been successful in the XFL because you're always going to get a return. And, the field position is pretty good. You're usually getting it around the 30-ish. And, by the way, you break that first line, there's a good chance you may be able to break it all the way because the kicker certainly is not bringing it down.
Careful.
Yeah,
careful.
I definitely have to be careful.
Another story. This one, potentially serious and maybe some consequences for the Nuggets. So, Jontay Porter, the brother of Michael Porter Jr., is under investigation by the NBA. Jontay Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors. So, they're looking into multiple instances of betting irregularities involving Jontay Porter. So, January 26th, a game against the Clippers, Porter's over-under prop bet totals were set at 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and a half of a three-pointer. In Toronto's previous 11 games, all of which Jontay Porter played in, he averaged numbers close to where the line was set, where those prop numbers were set. Well, in this game, Porter played only 4 minutes before exiting due to what the Raptors called a re-aggravation of an eye injury. Okay.
Okay.
What's the problem? Well, here's the problem. The next day, according to ESPN, DraftKings Sportsbook reported that the under total on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner among all NBA player props from that night. Porter didn't attempt a single three-pointer in that game. All right, that's one game. are March 20th against the Kings. A similar situation played out. Sportsbooks had Porter's props set at roughly 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds. Porter played only 3 minutes, recorded 0 points and 2 rebounds, and left with what the Raptors called an illness. Again, the next day, DraftKings reported that Porter's props were the number one moneymaker from that night of NBA games.
Ooh.
So, hey, this is an issue for Jontay Porter. What I want to know, what I want to ask you, from an athlete's perspective, does this affect Michael Porter Jr.? What his brother's going through?
I mean, certainly could. But, you know, the whole gambling thing is, it's real and it's here to stay. But certainly you could have great concern for your brother. He plays in Toronto, right? Does he have an interpreter? A boot. I can't understand. What's the organization? What is that? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know what that means.
What's hoser mean?
Come on. Right, come on. Like, how am I supposed to understand all this?
Exactly.
All this foreign talk.
Exactly.
That does not look good, does it?
Yeah, no.
See, that looks like organized gambling, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you'll go out with an eye injury today.
Right.
Contact Darcy Kemper and start doing some eye candlesticks.
Yeah, no, that's the kind
go
of stuff.
Go out with an illness.
That's the kind of stuff you worry about, yeah. No, absolutely. As far as it affecting MPJ,
and the
you athletes have always had to deal with real life issues.
Right.
And you're able to compartmentalize and still go out and play. So,
yeah, concern for your family, but it doesn't look good, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of not looking good, he's at it again. Russell Wilson posting a workout video in the Pittsburgh Steelers locker room. Now, at this point, I'm used to the workout videos.
Mm.
Honestly, they, you know, duck on a water's back, right?
Mm-hmm.
But leave it to Russ to do something that even most of us have come to expect and still do it cringy. Mark, do you want to take this?
No, go ahead.
What kind of exercise, by the way, is he doing here?
He's that is some type of there's a bent over, it's a bent over row. So it's for your hamstrings and your hips and butt, essentially.
Okay. No biggie.
I mean, it's something that you do. A lot of times you do it with dumbbells. He's doing it with a bar with it's plate loaded, you know, okay. So he's got plates on it.
It's Russ. We're used to the Russ workout videos, but what is Russ doing in this video that, in typical Russ fashion, he makes it look cringy?
Oh, he's got the big shades on indoors in the Pittsburgh Steelers weight room with the shades on. Like, why?
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 Right.
He's inside in a weight room wearing dark sunglasses. Why? Why, Russ?
Right. That's wrong.
Why?
Because the, who knows, he probably has a marketing deal with that sunglass company, or he's trying to get one. You know, it's always planned. There's always, you know, his team has got some kind of.
I know you. I know you well enough to know that, man, it's your attitude is kill or be killed in the locker room,
dude. Yeah, I would. I would just destroy him.
If you remember the Pittsburgh,
he would hate me. He'd hate my guts.
Big bite.
Like what? Give me an idea of what you're.
You're just not getting away with that.
What would your busting balls commentary center around?
I would. I'd walk by with one of them like blind sticks, you know, and then hand it to him. Here you go. What the hell's wrong with you?
It's gonna take all of us. It's gonna take all of us. It's gonna take
that
all
is
of
awesome,
us.
Dude. I would like. I'd make myself out
that.
Of a tape. I'd make myself
a little stick.
I'd find a little like a little stick. You know, we got them in the training room because they do things with the little sticks. And I put white tape all over it, and then I go in there and go ding 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 ding. Oh, here you lost this. Dips.
Whoops.
I didn't say it all the way, Johnny.
You almost did. You wanted to.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Russ. Thank you, Russ. Appreciate it. You take what would be an acceptable workout video, and you somehow find a way to make it cringy because you're wearing
dark sunglasses
right in the middle of it. My goodness, what a toolbox. Hey, is your bracket busted? Yes, guilty. Don't worry. Sport Clips presents the Denver Sports Second Chance Bracket. Just head to denversports.com/hoops for your chance to win $1,000 and a pair of tickets to every concert and PRCA rodeo event at the Daddy of Them All in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. Entry ends before the first game coming up this week on Thursday. Dover and Stoke coming up next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.